gong den phe be man.
So Rinpoche wishes everybody good morning, and he hopes that the intelligence arising from studying the genuine information of Dharma, that the intelligence arising from reflecting on the meaning of that, and the intelligence arising from meditation may increase. So what has to be done is to achieve that state of unsurpassable enlightenment, of Buddhahood, for the sake of all sentient beings filling that universe. And that state is not abiding in mere worldly existence, nor in just mere peace. And to do so, we have to digest the information of genuine Dharma. We have to reflect on the meaning and meditate on the arisen certainty with this motivation, which is also called the precious bodhicitta. Rinpoche requests us to listen to him.
Malam tawam, malam tawatang, yana chunang a davatavare, nando nito malam chunang a davatavi, besena. Then a Sanjay Koma drop to grey. Jumse and Karasana, nando nito katoma to the Denver chamber, namto the trubare. Then a Denver chamber, namto truba, namto truba, pachata, jeba sabre cups, then a Sanjay Koma to grey.
In the Mahayana tradition, in the Mahayana path, what one has to do is to achieve that state of omniscient Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. But first of all, we have to have a reason why we are actually able to do so. That reason is, one could say, that basically all phenomena are appearance and emptiness together. means there appear, but at the same time, there are empty of an independent existence. Empty but apparent, apparent but empty. Very much the same way like appearances in a dream, or like the reflection of the moon in the surface of water, which appears clearly but is empty of independent existence. So, in which way does that serve as a reason for our potential of reaching Buddhahood? Because we're not recognizing that all phenomena are just apparent but empty, this union of appearance and emptiness, then this is the state of delusion. That's the present state. And when one has removed all this delusion and recognizes that basic appearance and emptiness of all phenomena, then this state is called enlightenment. In the Mahayana path, again, there are three different ways of how to explain this. One is in accordance with the so-called first turning of the wheel of the Dharma, which is the first cycle of Buddha's teachings. Then the other is in accordance with the second cycle of teachings, and then with the third cycle of teachings. So today's talk will be related to the third turning of the wheel of the Dharma. And it is based on one text by and one teaching by Maitreya, which is called Distinguishing Phenomena or Appearances from Their Basic Nature. And within that, it is dealing with the so-called four correct applications.
Tene chata chu ta chunyin nambar je pa kap so chu ng korwa chu sepa kam so ng korwa te chetar son so ram chetan trupa chor tang chunyi tong tab denba he te chunyi la ten de nyangi le de pa chunyi chet tok chor la ten de nyangi le de pa to chetar to pa chor he pare
azu chu chu kanga tup so den chunyi So in general, in that teaching, which is called the distinguishing phenomena from their basic nature, it is clearly explained that phenomena are that which we call the cyclic existence of samsara, and it is explained in which way they exist, in which way those phenomena exist, and that the nature, the basic nature of those phenomena is nirvana, or the transcendence of suffering. And it shows how, based on this distinction, one can achieve, one can actually perform, one can transform into that state of nirvana, that basic nature of phenomena.
Chetan Sanji Jacoban Topa Topala Topacapso Nanger Togore Nanger Topacapso Tanda Sen no Jinjitin de Candes and Nangere Nanju Jesimjin Lusanawa Sen Zoksanawa Sen no Jinjitin da Nanju Jesimjin Zoksanawa de Candes and Nangere Ma de Candes and Nangere Sem de Candes and Nangere Tendrao Tene Tepachimbulola Nanger de Carchimboyore Tene chunyi nanji ji kapsa nenjur teya nenjur sor tsab sabjen rawo chui koni yewa mandrabo koni hebare nenjur te sapo tan trawo yore. Nenjur te hechur chik koni lamsang to togo yomare hechur mandrabo koni he na to le lawo yore. Tese na chirtan chunyi nanji ji kapsa nenjur cho hebare sabjen rawo.
In general, to achieve the state of Buddhahood, one has to go through a transformation, or we could say a transformation has to take place, and the transformation has to include everything. It's the transformation of how the world appears to us, means the outer environment, the so-called vessel of the outer world or universe, which has to transform. Then it is the appearance of sentient beings within that environment of the world that has to be transformed. Then furthermore, it is how the explanation of how one's speech transforms and the mind of the sentient beings. The explanation of this transformation is presented in this text in 10 different aspects. This is because that transformation is quite subtle and very difficult to understand. So if one was not to explain it by using different ways, then it would be very difficult to comprehend. So for that reason, in this text or teaching, which is called Distinguishing Phenomena from Their True Being, we have the explanation of the transformation of phenomena to their basic nature presented in 10 points. What's the essence of this transformation? It is that appearances are the impression of that we have a world outside and a perceiver inside, perceived and perceiver, or object and subjects, which is like dualistic phenomena. And this is the state of delusion. And on the other hand, there's the vast expanse of all the basic nature of those phenomena. So when the impression of dualistic appearances manifests, at the same time, by the power of this delusion, the basic nature of phenomena is obscured and doesn't show. So on the other hand, when all this delusion, including the habitual tendency to produce this delusion again and again, completely is exhausted, then the basic nature of phenomena manifests. And this manifestation of basic nature is called then the full transformation.
Namka, Saye, Rilling, Tronjer, Janzo, Lasso, but not so pretty chagre. At the name Nava, not so patella, Nazu, Malang, more my hippocaps, then by him by over it. Malanja Nava de Nando Nimi, I'm Tonsok in the young. The name more my hippocaps, and now a denbury hingre. Rang Nanga Namdog, denbury him by Latine. See now at the Denban Madro Patonzo in a young, when a Denban Denban Tropan Ravo Chagayer. Arretas on Trakbotan, daughters on Trakbotan, Hikalekabo, then Ravo Chagayer. Then I should Lute and Denba drop Deban Ravo, the Tainle Tropa, Hatala drop Deban Ravo. No, some the Tenny Nanguere, Nasin Yamnuere. The Denba Tropan now at the Your rank only then but to be Jim Saint Jamare, Nasu no my hite Nandong yen me jeton mato te Nang and Namdog a damber hemba latine, say now at the damber tropata of an hour. Tat to Nanji could say Milan mohi by ina, mohi per caps at any now and your way younger. Manang won't hip a capsule, Jurva Kande Yungre, won't my hip capsule, Denver Hemp and Namdo, then won't hip a capsule, Denver Map and Namdo and Jore. Demi hip a hirap Demi top a hirap and Nanger Wanda Wichagore, then as in Yamu Yore. Then eh, ta Denver Hemp and Namdo te Denver Madrup a hip a hirap and Nanger Vesena, now and day and Nanger. Now and day, Gan Rogomare. Hing dogmare, meba chagmare, in a young, now at the year. Now and not so, but the nun yendo. Then now don't yell me in Hindau. Then bar madroping here, but latente. Then now at the Koyang, Payang, Lungyang Rao. Koyang for Chagure. Penamalango, Hippocasu to Jung out to Luigi goats out at Dodo Trobar, Namkala Porto Gomare, Malam to Namkala Portova. Then it. Make a sick part Malam Tana, Tova Dunga Mapa, Chukichiba Malam Tana, Tova Dunga Mapa, Koyang Bayang Rao Chagayur. Then Rao Songatia, tending us to Nyam Yong Yepe, Natsu La Nyam Yong Yepe, Nanjerje, P. Yakichiri Sambayo.
So the best example to illustrate that type of transformation is dream experience. So usually in a dream, everything could appear. We could have the appearance of space, of continents, of mountains, and so on, of oceans. And although basically the appearances in the dream, they were never existing in a solid material way, they were always were from the very beginning appearance, but empty of independent existence. They were never existing in a dualistic way of being outer existence separated from inner perceiving mind. But still, at the time when we don't recognize the dream for what it is, we believe very much that those appearances exist. So those rocks and mountains, they really appear as very solid, very hard, very difficult to move. And in the same way, our body appears to us as something solid, made out of flesh and bone and blood and so on. So the whole world is kind of frozen, very solid and realistic. But that's not the fault of the objects. Not the fault of the appearances in the dream. It's our own fault. It's because our concepts are the way that they function, the way that they believe in the existence of those phenomena. So when then the time comes that in the dream suddenly we might recognize the dream for what it is, noticing, oh, it's just a dream, what happens then? Suddenly we don't believe anymore in the outer material existence of those phenomena. But the appearances, they do not disappear completely. It's not like everything disappears. There is something appearing. Before we were kind of trapped in concepts, believing in the real material existence of those phenomena, including ourselves. And after, there are thoughts that recognize that those appearances, they are just apparent but empty, like dream appearances. So one could say this is a manifestation of intelligence, recognizing appearance and emptiness. So in that way, a transformation took place. It's a transformation of the appearances that previously looked very solid and hard. Now they're transformed into the dream-like apparent but empty style appearances. And also it's a transformation of the concepts, believing in those existence. And then later it's a manifestation of wisdom or intelligence, recognizing dream appearances for what they are. So if one is then able to recognize the dream in that way, then this transformation will not completely destroy the appearances, but transform everything, and appearances will not no longer trap us and cause us suffering, but it will be very spacious, very open, very relaxed. Indeed, some people, they are able to do things which they normally wouldn't be able to do, to fly in space and so on, by the power of that transformation. So since we all have, to some extent, the experience of that dream and the this type of transformation in dream, this is the best example we could find for the transformation of the deluded appearance of dualistic phenomena into their basic nature. Actually, in that teaching or text, which is called Distinguishing Phenomena from Their Basic Nature, it is said that phenomena, dualistic phenomena, the way they appear, are not really existing, so it's something that appears but is not actually existing in that way, and shown by the example of the magical show or dream appearances, which also do not really exist but still appear. So this example is applied for the deluded state, but Ramaji then here kind of uses this example also for the transformed state. Because in the dream example, we could have both experiences, the one being deluded and then the other recognizing the dream for what it is. So we can use the dream example also for the transformation.
Sandam Zopam Sandam Netorbatav Chonyopatamatav Sombare.
So in the text, then again, the example which is used for the transformation, the three types of examples. One is the space, then it's water and it's gold. That means the transformation took place when space, which is basically pure, is freed from clouds, and then it is gold that has been recovered from gold ore, and it is water that is basically pure and transparent after the mud that has covered that transparency has sedimented.
Nanjur yet a carasana, Nanjur yet a Zunzin niji tongbe, Zunzin ji trippe tongbe, same genello was at the Nanjur yet a same genello was at the Namka Tang, Ser Tang, Chotam, Pitembare Nanjur ya carnage of Goresena, the Nam Zunzin yinang and Nam Dote, Zunzin yinang and Nam Dore, Zunzin yinang and Nam Dote.
The basis for the transformation to take place is the fundamental state of mind, which is luminous clarity. And that luminous clarity, being the fundamental state of mind, is here compared to space, to the purity of space. It is compared to the purity of gold and that transparency or purity of water as being their basic nature. And what happens in the process of transformation? What actually is going on when the transformation takes place is that the deluded mind or the concepts that obscure that basic nature, the concepts of dualistic appearances, belief in outer world and inner perceiving mind, that those have to be removed, and they are like the clouds that cover the basic purity of space. They're like the gold ore, the earth that covers the basic purity of gold, and they're like the mud that covers the, or that obscures the transparency of water.
So, to be able to
give rise to that transformation oneself, in the first place, one needs to have the proper view. That proper viewpoint is to be convinced of the existence of that basic state of mind, which is luminous clarity and in itself free of any dualism, like it does neither exist as perceived objects nor as perceiving mind. So, assuming that existence of that basic luminous state of mind is non-dualistic, then whatever appears right now as dualistic in the way that we believe in outer existence and inner perceiving mind is delusion. So that is the viewpoint, and the meditation that goes along with that is to get used to that view, means to rest in that luminous clarity of mind that is free from dualism. And since one has the correct viewpoint, one is sure that at one time, then, like space is freed from clouds, like gold is purified by removing the earth, and like water's transparency manifests due to the mud sedimenting down, then one's luminous, clear nature of mind will manifest when all the delusion of dualistic appearances, including their habitual patterns, have been exhausted.
Tene nime ji chuyen gomba tele yang tabe rimba gogre rimba mina lamsa nime ji chuyen gom chi gmare ti sen na rimba te te nejur nejur che nani karchi ki chi jorwa yere jorwa ye ti chi
de la tabe rimba gogre
rimba gogre.
So to be able to rest in that expanse of non-dualistic, expanse of all phenomena which is non-dualistic, and one could say the non-dualistic Dharma Dhatu, one needs to have a progressive order of how to enter this correct point of view. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to meditate straight away. We're not able to just rest in that non-dualistic basic nature of mind. And this progressive order of how one can ripen oneself in realizing the correct point of view in this teaching or text is presented as the so-called four correct applications.
Memek pa yi jorwa tang, memek pa memek jorwa tang, memek jorwa wo sumbare.
the root verse that goes along with these four types of correct application is like this. It's the application of, well, it's very cryptic, eh? So if I say it like literally, it doesn't really make sense, but give it a try. It's the application of viewing. It's the application of what cannot be viewed or cannot be seen. It's the application of that what is viewing is not visible or not to be viewed. And it's the application of viewing that which is not to be viewed.
Tell tambo mikpa yena joba de karesa na zungzini nang na wande zungzini nang na wam yana seru yorje na wante jeba thoma me ban ne ni su nang ge ni su yen ba pa kya tene kunje le yakpa la tin de pa kya ke malam yin do pa kya gan thuna ni de sena pa kya de na wa yin de sena ने पाख्या कनावा पाख्या ले सोवे छुनंग ये पर निखि चेना ते मे पे जवरे
सो व्हाट इज द फर्स्ट वन इट वाज कॉल्ड द एप्लीकेशन ऑफ व्यूइंग एंड इट मींस दैट वन ऑब्टेन्स द फर्म कन्विक्शन दैट व्हाटएवर अपीयर्स राइट नाउ इन द वे दैट देयर इज सीम्स टू बी एन आउटर वर्ल्ड And there seems to be the inner mind that looks at this outer world, having that dualistic split of outer perceived phenomena and inner perceiving mind, that all this, whatever appears, is deluded appearance, like the dream, and that it is the manifestation of that very delusion in form of the habitual pattern of that delusion, since beginningless time, like the dualistic imprints of daytime reflect in the nighttime dream appearances, so that whatever appears around us is just that manifestation of previously stored dualistic imprints of delusion. To be convinced of that is called the first approach or the application of viewing everything as being dualistic, the manifestation of dualistic delusion.
Penangatso malang ngo hiba yina, malang ngo hiba kapsu hirap jinja samnong tangna, tene malam yinba sena, semchang yinba tang, chunang yinba yichi yungre. Takien rawa tang samnong tangna raba.
Tempo melam ngoshi tsane te ne.
Te melam ngoshi pe kapso samno tang na. Kaki ngoshi pa tsane ma to samno kanyang tang togo yo ma. Kasi melam ngoshi pe kapso samno tang o melam re ndo. Melam yinpe sen na siru ji zubra taro re za de kar re. Kang sen na wale samna hirap ji jeba zo na melam yinpe sen na ta pakhya jen tru nang re sem chan re. Sem chan yinpe ngishi jeg re. Be te yin do tene nāwān de cīn tīn jērīn kōrba nāwān chēpār tō ngā chū cīn tīyā nāwān de tene bākhyā gā nāwān yīmbā sēr nā sēm chāng yīmbā chūrpa nāwān yīmbā tā sēm chāng yīmbā ngī kī jēgō marabhē
no so in the dream when one recognizes that is just a dream going on an intelligent person would be able to reflect on that recognition and would be able to ask himself, oh, where do all those appearances come from, those dream appearances? And he would be able to find out very clearly that whatever appears then, since it is just a dream, isn't different from mind. So it's just his own mind that manifests. And also he would be able to understand very clearly that the way it appears just right now, here and now, is the manifestation of habitual patterns of delusion. It's the habitual projection or habitual patterns that manifest exactly the way there it appears to him in that time. For some people, when they recognize the dream for what it is, that it's just like that. I mean, they don't reflect on it. It's just they have like a short instance of this recognition, but that's all. But if somebody had like more clarity, then he would be able to reflect on that situation, and he would be convinced. He would be able to convince himself that it is just mind that it appears, and it is the manifestation of habitual tendencies. So in the same way, we have to gain that firm conviction that whatever appears in our life, all the appearances of our life, of this life, they're nothing else than the previously stored impressions of dualistic delusion that manifest right now, and they're nothing else than that.
Jeva, Korva Toma than Tama Mabban Dabare, Korva Toma Mabani Yabare, Korva Toma Mabani Pakya Yabai, Number Lola, Korva Toma Tama Mabai in a young Tikachim Bilola, Korva Toma Tama Mabate and Demba Droba Mare, Demba Droba, Rang in a Droba, Tendavo Mare, Korva Toma Tama Mabare, Deyan, Tinin Nandong Yer Maba, Malamda, Malamdava. Jumatava, Chunanga Davatava, Nandong Yer Mebare, Tetang Korva Toma Tama Mebare, Te Demba Tropa Toma Tama Meba Mare, Nandong Yer Mija Toma Tama Meba, Malam Juma Chodatava Sumare.
So, talking about previously stored habitual patterns of dualistic delusion, one could ask oneself, when actually did I store those deluded impressions? In the Buddhist tradition, one generally says that this cyclic existence, or samsara, is without any definite beginning. There is no star that we could point to and say, like, wow, that's the time where all the problem began. It is without any beginning and it's without any end. But still, then, like saying that samsara is without beginning and end doesn't mean that it has an independent existence on its own. It's not something that's substantially existing. It is a vicious cycle of delusion without beginning and end, but it's delusion. It is samsara is appearance but empty of independent existence. It is like a magical show. It is like the reflection of the moon in the surface of water.
Then Tony Churok Sombare, Tony Churoganani, Chick Toma Tama me betonganite, Corvare, Corva Toma Tama me betonganite somebody.
In the 16 types or facets of emptiness which the Buddha taught, then one is the so called emptiness of that which is without beginning and end. This emptiness is the emptiness of samsara, the cyclic existence from independent nature.
The song of the Jumsen Karasana, Tepa Chembe Lolan, Korva Matonga Pardo, Simchinja Ton Sepe, Tamja, Tendavo Kohire, Tasanjo Sampa the Saman Namje, Korva Matonga Pardo, Simchinja Ton Sepe, Tamja Sepa La, Tila, the Ne Jova Mapa Cheto, Korva Tongbany to somebody. Kangisena, Korva Dengene, Demba Drobaina, Tene, Korva Matonga part of Simchinja Tunse, Bala Chova Chigre, Tang Chigre, Doptogumar, Korva Nandong Yermemba, Malam Tavina, Tene Sancho Sambata, Samasu Jogumar, Jova Pam, Cheto Yangsumbare, Korva Tombanitus.
What's the reason why the Buddha had to teach this type of emptiness? It is because in the Mahayana tradition, a bodhisattva has to commit himself to stay in samsara, in that cyclic existence, for the benefit of all sentient beings until samsara is completely emptied, until all sentient beings are liberated. So this is the vow or the commitment of a bodhisattva. But if samsara was really existing and it is famed for being without end, the bodhisattva could be very, could become very depressed. So to clear away this depression and frustration in bodhisattvas, the Buddha explained that actually, well, this, it's without end, but it's not really existing. It's just appearance and emptiness. So no reason to become worried.
Then, the kadu yagres in the travasona te depa da maomba tata te tu somte namdo la tubare namdo am nam hila tuba nam hila tembe namare tu somte. Then, nam hi je tu som nam hi je ngor tu som yaba te yendo ne lo lo yo mare. Number Mato be hidden or to two yo mare to two lendebare. Tisena nam hidden or nam hin turban or to some yo na young tapa two lendeba. Number Mato be hidden or to two meba two lendeba te young carjemodo. They have go.
Tenet Bakshak in Nam Shakba in
the Travas on Capso to two ten nam hill to bare. Ne look to yo mare. Number Matope ye hitting all to so your mare. Dinner nam hitting all to some your bar. Tang, ne lolo to some meba. Number Matope ye hitting all to your mare, to lend their barre. They young catching with.
So then the other question that naturally arises always is then to ask oneself, when did this process of storing deluded appearances or deluded impressions start? But here one has to understand one subtle point, which is that time, and time is usually past, the present, and the future, or like Tibetans say, the past, the future, and the present, then then this time is something that is actually a concept. Time only exists in concept, and it is something that is related to conceptual mind, conceptually perceiving mind. Within the primordial awareness that is without any concepts, there is no idea of time. This is a very subtle difference one has to understand. So if one explains it on the level of appearances that which are perceived by conceptually perceiving mind, then time is existing in that way, or it appears to exist, but in the fundamental state of mind, which is primordial awareness, free from concepts, there is no reference for time, no idea of time. So if one explains those two, as when if one explains this distinction, then it should become very clear.
Then Nam Hin Trubangola, Nam Hin Trot the Tizu, Tizu Rimbo, Tizu Rimbutranas on what a motto. When eh? Madam Ting Ola Tizu Yomare, Tilendebare. Reba?
For example, if we had like a real nightmare, which is a very terrifying experience, and we're suffering a lot, then this dream might seem to us endless. We experience this suffering for a very long time, and it doesn't want to stop. But the appearance of that long time only is in relation to our conceptual perceiving mind, conceptually perceiving mind. Within the dream in itself, there is no reference for such a thing like time.
For example,
if in that night,
Benna chutsu chik rin la tha rinpo la trusong malam tamayi na Chutsu chutsu chik te ya nam hi jen trupa ngore Tha rinpo la trupa ta nam hi trupa ra ma to Tene ne luk la te chutsu chik ya yo ma ra tha rinpo trupa ya yo ma ra Ye hi jen ngore ma to pre Ne luk la ma to pre
If in that nightmare we were trying to escape from some very severe danger that we perceive in that dream, then we run away, and we're running away for a long time. We feel like we're running away for 1 hour non-stop, and we actually went quite far. But then, on the other hand, considering that it is just a dream, then neither the length of that distance, whatever we could run in 1 hour, nor the time that passed was really existing on its own. It's not... In the dream, all the appearances in the dream, they have no independent existence. So there was no actually distance that we really went, and there was no time as such passing. It only existed the impression of that distance that we ran, and there was the impression of the time passed in relation to our conceptual way of perceiving things. In the vision of that of the primordial wisdom or awareness, the basic nature of those dream appearances, a thing like a distance, a long or short distance, or short and long time doesn't exist.
Then Rabbi Malam ji pila samna then thikpa chenpo le nyamba ni sungbare. Mare tu zola, ngowo le chepa yo mare, tha rengbo to tong tong la yang chepa yo mare. Tene pena malamdo rarapta tarata ve chembo da dutin je nawa ni la yang mo la chechong yo mare namdo la tu de chechong chong ro ma do ne lo la chechong yo mare den da bula sam na tene nyaba ni je tong la yang ngi hi che gre te pa chembo lo la nyam ni la ngi hi che go yo re malam je pe la so kute arve
so this point that things when they don't exist in the independently in their basic nature, but they appear differently. In the Mahayana, is called the equanimity of phenomena, which means that actually, like there might be the appearance or the impression of a 1 hour time passed or the impression of 1 minute time passed in a dream, but there is nothing really existing as that time that passed. So, 1 hour and 1 minute is. Essentially, it's like equal, and then there might be the nari dang then chung chung dera kare sir.
Dutting. Dutting check that rap check ni la chechong ma yo ma le malam da kap sir. Kani se na nika la ngowo me bare ma do bare.
In the dream, there might be the appearance of the size of the like the universal mountain, and there might be the appearance of. Smallest atom, but since both of them have no independent existence, there is no essential difference between that real huge mountain and that smallest atom, which is another example for the basic equanimity of all phenomena. This is very important to understand. It's a very important point in Mahayana to gain confidence in the fundamental equanimity of all, equality of all phenomena, that although they appear different in the fundamental state, they're not different. And the best example to use is the example of dream appearances.
Namdo ngola chepa yor ma to malam je chama ta chopa la yang chepa yor ma re nyamba ni re nawa ta wo ye pa ta memba la yang ngola chepa me ba re ni ka ma do ba re nyamba ni re ten da wo sam na ten ni nyam ni je ton de ton la ngi hi che go do tang bo nyam ni je ton nga zu lam sang to to go mo do ni na yang nyam ni la nyam ni je ta ba te hi na nyam ni la ngi hi che to go re yi chi che to go re ngi hi am yi chi che go do
So in the same way, the impression of dirtiness and cleanliness and of light and darkness, also there appear in the dream, but they only exist in relation to the concepts that we have in that dream experience. Light and dark, dirty and clean doesn't have any independent existence in a dream. This is very important to realize, since we cannot straight away have a full realization and direct understanding of this equality of all the phenomena. But first of all, we have to train ourselves in gaining the right view. Means we have to be certain that although it appears to us different, actually, if we think about it, then there shouldn't be any difference in the fundamental nature. So this process of thinking, of training, of understanding is something which is important for a beginner to do.
Devata donga nyamba nyi du hina, nyamba nyi du ngi hitembo china, tini nange tabi tini koyang da payan yungre. Rwa?
The most important example the object of equality that we have to realize or to understand is suffering and happiness. This we have a lot of changing experiences of suffering and happiness in our life. So it's very important to understand, based on the dream example, that in the dream, at one time we are happy and another time we have suffering, that actually neither the happiness nor the suffering did have any real existence. So there is no basic difference between those. They're essentially the same. So that sameness, the idea, the understanding of sameness, of suffering and happiness, something that has to dawn in ourselves, first as in the form of understanding, and then even in form of that understanding, which is then called the viewpoint, it already releases a little bit that tension, and we feel like openness arising.
So
if one then can give rise to that understanding or viewpoint to view whatever appears as being the mere manifestation of one's previously stored dualistic delusion, then this is called here in this teaching the application of viewing. So in short, as Srimati has explained before, this is like in the dream example, when one in the dream were to recognize the dream for what it is.
Mamek pa yi jor vare. Mamek pa jor vare kar re. Siru yor je nawa. Zog, dra, tre, ro, rikza, la so pe. Siru yor je nawa na so kwan de. Pakhya gantra nang yin pa se na. Malam yin to siru to maro pare. Siru tong to maro pare. Ti se na siru tong to maro pe. Ngishi chong na tini mamek pa jor vare.
Ete mimik pa ta mamek pa ta chip.
Mamek pa chip vare.
The second application is called the application of that which cannot be viewed or cannot be seen, not be focused on. It is to see that, like in a dream, when we recognize the dream, that there are no outer objects existing. There are no substantial or materially existing outer points of reference. This is the application of that which cannot be viewed, cannot be not be seen.
Then mamek pe jorva te kapso sir zugda taro rigz nama te khyar yenda mamek pe jorva ngi khite yong thugu yore. ပင်နာမခလန်ကြဆုံးကြီးခန္ဓာကြဆုံးတရေကြီးစမဲပါချာတော့ဒေကျင်းတော့စရတုံးတော့မာတော့ပငိခိကျဲဘကပ်ဆိုဇုက္တာတရောရက်ဇာမဲကဇုံထုံရမဲပါအံတော့ကဒတရမဲပါမဲပါချာကိုကမာတယ်ချာကမာတယ်ချာကိုကယံမာတယ်စရဇုက္တာတရောရက်ဇာနန်းကျင်းတော့နန်းသံတယောနယံတုံးတော့စရတုံးငနဲ့မာတော့ပါမလန်ငေါ်ရှိပါတာပငိခိတဲ့ဘချာကို
Important is that one is able to give rise to that conviction that at the same time the appearances arise, at the same time they do not exist as something material or substantial, independently existing outside. It is not like the appearance of a rainbow where at the time when it is there, then we think, okay, it's like a rainbow, there's nothing to hold on, but later then this rainbow will disappear again. The appearances do not have to disappear. We just have to be fully convinced that at the same time they appear, they never existed as independently outside. Yeah, this kind of firm conviction is the essential point of that second application. So one then again has the doubt and says, well, what's that all about? It doesn't really exist, but it appears clearly. So what? It is the same story that we had before, that something appears although it does not really exist. As can be shown by many examples, like example of the dream and so on, that something appears clearly and precisely, but at the same time has no independent existence, which is called that union of appearance and emptiness, and that being attached to those appearances as being really existent, then this is called samsara, is the state of delusion, which has to be overcome, and that one has to realize that basic appearance and emptiness as a union, as being inseparable.
Pakha jokpa pe kanza yang tene dembar maro pa malam tavi do shikobre.
And if one then wonders, okay, those appearances, the way they manifest right now, here and now, are obviously the manifestation of my habitual patterns, then do so, those habitual patterns really exist? They do not, since in the Buddhist way of viewing it, then even the habitual patterns, they lack independent existence, and the one who stored those habitual patterns, that individual, also was just like the individual in a dream, which is apparent but empty of independent existence.
Le tangbo heba kapsa denba kana zumba rawa heba re. Mune denba madrom na zumba yang zumba de denba la tu gubisa na zumba yang madrom re. Denba denzoi ne denba chonanga dava rawa re. Chonanga dava te dava tardo nana yang dava ngobor madrom re. Denba yo mare. Yang zumba yang madrom re. Tuenda nang zang te yoba re. Nang zang te.
And So if one then hears that, okay, all these appearances of this life, they're not really existing, they're not true, they're not valid, then are they like just a trick, they're just merely deceiving us? Well, that's not the case either. Although for a beginner, one has to explain it the way and say like, okay, it's not valid, it's invalid, it's untrue. And but in their nature, appearances are neither true nor false. Like the reflection of the moon in the surface of water, which clearly appears, which isn't existing truly as the moon, but the reflection in the water isn't false either. It is clearly to be seen, very precise. So it's beyond being false or true.
Then somebody make pa ma make it over it. Mikpa ma mikpa jorwa de kare, mikpa, tangbo mikpa ma mikpa si nyi yonga dowa. Mikpa ma mikpa jorwa si jete, zonwa le mikpa te zemba semre. Zonwa le mikpa nang zemba sem te yang madopare. Jimsen kare, siru zonwa te demba tropa yina, tele mikpa zemba te yang demba tropare. Siru zonwa yor te malam yendo madopesena, zonwa madopesena, tele mikpa zemba.
So the third type of correct application is what? It is called that that which is viewing is not to be viewed or cannot be seen or not be found. And that means usually we have outer perceived object and inner perceiving mind. So there's that mind viewing those objects. If those perceived objects were existing independently on their own, then the perceiving mind that knows or perceives those objects would have a reason to exist independently as well. Because like there's always a perceiving object has a perceiving mind that perceives exactly that perceived object. So they're mutually dependent. But on the other hand, when we find out clearly that those objects, which seem to be out there, are not really existing independently, then how could the mind that perceives those objects have an independent existence? So this is called the correct application of that what is viewing is not to be viewed, that is not nothing that we can relate to or that we can find and locate.
When the Malam Jesukta Taro Riza Yete, Dembatrona Telemekbe Gong and Namji, the Yajan Namji Yang, Selamikware, Te Dembatrona Yang, Dembatrop Guna Yang, then the Malam Jesukta Taro Riza Selamabe Sena, Selamekbe Tony Gong and Namji, the Yajan Namji Yang, Madopre. Raba, Te Yendo, that's in the Chikare.
Like in the dream example, where we have all kinds of appearances in the six types of fields of perception. So we have a form, sound, smell, taste, tactile sensation, and mental objects. And this... There is the perceiving mind going out into those six types of fields of perception. So we have the perceiving mind that perceives form, the eye perceiving mind, then we have the ear perceiving mind perceiving sound, the nose perceiving mind perceiving smell, and so on. And if those fields of perception and the objects out there were really existing, then the perceiving mind would have to exist as well. But since in the dream, where it is very clear, those objects, the fields of perception, do not exist independently out there, then the mind that seems to focus outside, the six types of perceiving mind, cannot have an independent existence by itself. So Tenamchi also said then in the same way we have to realize that mind doesn't exist in everyday life. And another example is that if in the dream we were looking at this flower here, then actually then there couldn't be any distance between that perceived object of the flower and the mind that perceives that flower. There couldn't be like empty space or something in between, because the appearance of that flower doesn't have any independent existence, and the mind perceiving that flower becomes aware of that flower is not existing independently either. So there is no essential difference between those two, and there is no physical distance between them. So here we have to understand another point, that although the appearances to the six types of sense or perceiving consciousnesses that focus outwardly are delusion, appearances that have no real point of reference, the appearance of the so-called self-appearance to the mind that focus inwardly, which is the primordial awareness, so the self-appearance to the primordial awareness focusing inwardly, then is not delusion.
Tena tekpa chenpe lo la sanje ji hengam la sope hepa mangpo re sanje ji hengam la sopa te yehi je rana yinpe se na tena chunang ma re korpa nama te nam hi je nama yinpe se na chunang re.
So in the Mahayana there is the description of various Buddha fields, of pure realms of Buddha fields, then those are considered to be the self-appearance, or that is like the self-manifestation of primordial wisdom, and is considered to be no delusion. On the other hand, what is samsara, that cyclic existence, the vicious circle of delusion, is that which appears to conceptual perceiving mind, and this is delusion.
And then tendra what the nam hi jentranan da hi jeranan te ni de vaisa ni de tsava ne so so re vese na tsava ne so so ma re te ne charom tang chon ra bore nam hi jentranan kovan tranan te charom ra bore te ngo cho yin ba te ngo cho yin ba te hi jeranan da so bare te ne charom cho re shona charom te yin ne o ma re yin de dog ma re.
If one were to wonder at this point, are then the appearances of delusion to our conceptual mind, which is samsara, which forms samsara, are they then entirely different, like have a different nature of what is then the self-manifestation to the primordial wisdom? No, they're not entirely different, because there are in the relation to each other like ice and water. So although ice appears different from water, when then ice melts into water, it is not that the ice has arisen from somewhere else than the water, and it also doesn't disappear to somewhere else. It's only when that coldness of the ice disappears that the ice itself transforms into water, and the water was always there in the eyes. So it's the same. It's in the same way that there is the relation between the deluded appearances and the self-manifestation of primordial wisdom.
Tene dorje tepe lo la la tan chingor mandava mambo gomya yobare te gomba te ya nam hi chentrunang te jawa nam hi chentrunang te nejo drupa thabre nejo drupa thab mandava na zogwa tembare.
In the Vajrayana, that part of Mahayana which is the Vajrayana, there is a lot of meditation where one visualizes mandalas and wisdom deities. And this is just a skillful means to cause that transformation of deluded conceptual mind into the primordial wisdom mind, or in the appearances of to the transform primordial wisdom mind.
Ne dorje tepe lola la gomtor te ya ma cho hebe heben tro nang tang pardun tro nang tang ji ma le che wa lang de yang ma hi par jen tro nang tang tem be tro nang jan ji ji nyen bo tro nang jan ji tan tro nang ju ji ji jo bar se pe tap sam tem ba.
And also those methods of visualizing wisdom deities and mandalas, visualizing oneself as wisdom deities and visualizing mandalas, then they're all skillful means to remove three types of delusion that all sentient beings have to go through. There's a delusion at the state of death, and there's a delusion of Then there is the delusion of that intermediate state before one takes another birth, the so-called Bhadu state, and then there is the delusion of taking another birth and another life. So we have those three situations, basic situations of all sentient beings, and the methods of visualization in the Vajrayana, they are skillful means to destroy that delusion in the three types of existence.
Then dorje tepe la gom de nejor je tingen zen de nejor tan thun ba zo yu re sung zen ni de ji chu tam je tong ba ni de jang tong ba gom tong ba ngan la gom la te ni la te ne wo ze te du zo te ne la tong ba ngan de do ten ra wo zo re ne tingen zen de nejor zo nejor Nenjor chitting in Zendaore. Nenjor Guyur.
The Nenjor and Timber is on the
Nenjor than Tumbam, Nenjor Zobare, Ting in Zenkorang and Nenjor.
The Chitang, Chudan Chuni, Nenjor de la Tumbar is on
the Tetan Tumba, Chudan, Nenjor than Tumbatang, Gomso Korang and Nenjor. Tambozung de Nier, Tetongbang Nanaja, Tongbang and Lago, Layan Tongbang and Dore.
So the various actions one is doing in one's samadhi while meditating in the Vajrayana are in accordance with their transformations, and they are in accordance with the nature, with reality, since one is first like dissolving all the ideas of real existence into that basic natural emptiness, and then out of that awareness of natural present emptiness, one is giving rise to the form of a deity, and then after that form of deity has clearly arisen, then later one again one has radiating light going out and coming back, and then again, in the end one dissolves that appearance of the deity again in that state of the natural present emptiness. So there are various transformations going on in Vajrayana meditation, so those transformations of one's samadhi, they are in accordance with the nature of the states that beings go through, have to go through anyway. So for that reason, It is very important for Vajrayana practice that first of all one gains conviction, certainty in the existence of such a transformation, or the possibility of such a transformation.
So
we come to the fourth type of correct application, which is application of viewing that which is without viewing, or which is not to be viewed. And those two here refer to something different again. That which cannot be viewed is, or we cannot find it, we cannot relate to, is dualistic characteristic or dualistic phenomena, because they do not exist independently. Perceived objects and perceiving mind do not exist as something we can relate to, which that can be viewed, and that which can be viewed is the suchness, that state, that basic state, which is beyond dualism, and this is viewed at that point.
So
if one then can proceed gradually through those mentioned four steps of correct application by gaining gradually more and more conviction in the existence of that vast expanse of phenomena which are not dualistic, and or like the non-dualistic Dhamma Dhatu, and gradually by proceeding through those four applications one is able to rest within the non-dualistic basic state, and by resting in that basic state which is non-dualistic, the delusion of believing into outer perceiving mind, inner perceiving, in outer perceived objects, inner perceiving mind, gradually disappears. The habitual patterns gradually are exhausted, and in the end, when they're all exhausted, then only that suchness, which is non-dualistic, manifests. And as has been mentioned before, this is called the state of Buddhahood or enlightenment.
Tony took with Hirap the Karchi, Hirakaras and a Jorba Ye Ramba, Ramba Yendon Joba Lion, Hirap Gogre, Tabatella, Taba Hibali Hirap Gogre, Tabang Hinebating, Ando Nyabar Yabate, Tene Gomre, Gomzong Hirap Gogre, Karchi Hure, Tito Tela, Tene Nanjo Dropala, the Pachimbilola, Samba Ninja, Sancho Jesim, Je Tanda Menga Gomba.
So that which actually drives us through all those four steps of application is mainly the intelligence. We need intelligence to understand the absence of independent existence, because that is needed at any of those steps, in the beginning as the correct understanding or viewpoint, and then also when resting in that conviction of that viewpoint, then it is that intelligence which comes from meditation or getting used to it, that intelligence that understands, discovers that there is no independent existence. So this is what makes it possible for an individual to proceed from one step to the other. And also as a help, as an assistance for this transformation application, we need to have loving kindness or compassion, Because it is said then, if one doesn't relate the intelligence with compassion, in the Mahayana, in the end, we will not have a final transformation to Buddhahood if there was no compassion also included. So then to view those steps again, then the first of all one has to have the conviction that whatever appears is only the manifestation of one's deluded mental imprints of dualism, of dualistic belief. And then secondly, based on that, if one is sure about that, then naturally the conviction arises that objects cannot exist independently outside, since they were only the manifestation of deluded mind. And if one is sure about that, then naturally the conviction arises that if the objects are not existing, then the mind that seems to perceive those objects cannot have an independent existence by itself. And when then both of them do not exist independently, then the fourth type of conviction arises, which is then there is the suchness of mind, the nature of mind, which is free from dualism, neither as existing as outer perceived object nor inner perceiving mind. And arriving at this point, we have the ability, the capacity to rest in that basic state, which is free from belief in dualistic existence. So now he has given a brief explanation of the so-called four steps of correct application based on the teaching of Maitreya, who is the lord of the tenth bhumi, which is called distinguishing phenomena from their basic nature. So if there are any questions, then we have a little time left. If some question could be asked now, then if there are more questions, then there will be an opportunity later. So in the second session, Rinpoche will explain about that primordial awareness, which in itself is not conceptualizing. He will explain, based on that same teaching, same text, how that primordial awareness, which is not conceptualizing, serves as a remedy against, or a remedy of what, and he will also explain what are the characteristics of this primordial awareness.
Number Matope, he did Nimbo can say, but then Seni can say, Tendu Trevayona, Tana Gogumato, Konahi.
So, if there are questions related to what are the characteristics of the primordial awareness and in what sense this primordial awareness serves as a remedy, then there's no need to ask them now because they might be answered in the afternoon's talk. But other questions are welcome.
What do you mean by self-manifestation?
Rangnang, वैसर जचा ता रोबन डाव तेना हेदोला नालन जा थों जे ने बायो ने निमे सर पोना तेने ते पका सा काला वैसे लोग रे तेन रावो सेम जे ने लोग ते वैसर रे वैसर जचा ले तक पे नाम आया ये बार माता पे नाम मई बता पे नाम
So, first of all, primordial awareness is in itself is like luminous clarity, and then self-manifestation is kind of like the display, the natural display of that basic luminosity. That could be understood by an example. If in a dark room we were to place like a crystal in the middle, and we have just one sun ray falling into that room, just to hit that crystal, and we turn that crystal, then we have all kinds of like reflections, reflections at the wall of this room, which are the display of that clarity in the center. So in that way, they talk about self manifestation or self appearance of primordial wisdom. And those appearances then, which manifest through that primordial wisdom, they are considered not to be a delusion. They're pure appearances, so-called pure appearances, and what appears to the bodhisattvas on the bhumis, bodhisattvas, the male or female bodhisattvas on the bhumis, and then Sanji Layang, then
Sanji Jarva. Sanji Jarva.
Sanji Jarva.
Sanji Lanama, Sanji Jarva Las.
So when the bodhisattvas, when they encounter a Buddha, and they have the appearance of a Buddha, and have the appearance of Buddha fields that they visit, and receive teachings from Buddha and so on. So those appearances, they're called pure appearances in that way.
Why, if external appearances are empty, why should it necessarily be that the mind that observes them is empty? Why could there not be an aspect of that mind?
You mean that why the mind has to understand them as being empty, or
no, in the second view, as I understand, yeah. You said the fact that external appearances are empty means that the mind itself is also empty. But I don't see why that is necessarily the case. Why are they not just an aspect of the mind that itself is not empty, but real? Why should it be necessary that the mind is empty?
Why they're not an aspect of the mind, which is empty anyway.
Well, no, which could be real. I mean, why should the mind be empty? Why is this necessary?
This is the third step, right?
Is it the third step?
The Sumbala, Jorba Sumbala, the Sumba Madrupala, then it's Zimba Yang Madrupa, the Jumzin, the Koran, the Yangdapa, Mare, the Kansana Japkere, Chichina, the Sem, the
Yola dembar hin ten truco yore danda dembar hin ba yin to yor mebe sena yurchin yan danda karasokoro zong yin de ma de pare pen na me do den tong na me do se lan dok san ni hing ge yere ma lam de me ne me do yo ma re me do me be se ne me do me be sen de ya yang ta par ma de pare yin ne ya zong ze ni ji tong be di ka lo la zong ze ni ji tong be wa sa te yere ta ni te me ba hi ge yo ma
shen zin ba de zong ma den te to pare ba
re re tu tu ne to pa yin
So, the first thing which says is that at this point we have to understand that a dualistic mind that appears as perceived object and perceiving subject, this is the one here explained to not have real existence, but not that the inwardly focusing aspect of mind, which is the luminous clarity or the basic state of mind, but this is existing, like it's not explained to be like not existing. And in the deluded aspect, then mind manifests as the idea of outer perceived object and inner perceiving mind. So they are mutually dependent. It's like not they are, I mean, this is something which is very difficult to maybe to bring through in the words and the English, but it's kind of, it's not like in the substance of mind somewhere here and then the object is like. There couldn't be an independent existence of perceived and perception, because that perception is relates to that perceived. Like in the dream, then you have then this flower doesn't exist outside as perception, as the perceived object, and the perception of it, which is the mind, cannot exist independently from that inside. If there is no object, then there is no perception of object. So they're mutually dependent, and this is the deluded manifestation of mind that focuses outwardly and mistakenly believes in the existence, in the independent existence of that object, and then automatically it's kind of implied, then it has to assume the existence of that perceiving mind, and discovering slowly then that the outer object never had an existence for itself, and from the very beginning then also the understanding dawns that the assumption of the mind inside, the perceiving mind, the perception of that object also cannot have independent existence, and never could.
So this is a reference to discriminating awareness, the idea that consciousness arises as the inner and the outer. This is the reference that's being made here.
That, what do you say with the discriminating awareness then?
The awareness of an object implies the awareness of a knower, so it's the
yes.
idea of...
Exactly, yeah.
But there is another consciousness that underlies this, that is real. This is what's being said.
Uh-huh. The sung sunga dan zimba de chodo bimba rwa. Sem kase bimna sem gi chulpa de chodo bimba. De sem de nangla yang ngene yeba sem chigyores.
De zungze ni jitongpo wa sale.
Yeah, well, that's called the luminous clarity, which is empty of object and subject.
Yeah.